You're listening to sermons from Christ the Savior Orthodox Church. We're a small but growing mission of the Orthodox Church in America, currently meeting in Brewer, Maine. We'd love to have you join us for service, but until then, here's Father Scott with this week's sermon.
Amen, wisdom, stand upright, let us hear the Holy Gospel, peace be unto all.
And to your spirit.
Our reading is from the Holy Gospel according to the Evangelist Saint Matthew.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
Let us attend. At that time, Jesus then went hence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
Please be seated. Just before our gospel of today, the Lord had an encounter with the Pharisees in Galilee, and he taught them a teaching which is very important. It's linked to our gospel and our epistle today. That is, that it's not which goes into a man that defiles him, but rather what comes out of a man. For out of the heart come all sorts of sins, adulteries, murders, fornications, he says. But what goes in comes out in the draw, he said. The Lord's teaching us that your heart matters to him. And your outward circumstances, they may be important, they may not be. But what really does matter is our heart. It's not what goes in, but what comes out that a man has to answer to God for. This is the saying, leaving the Pharisees and going to the Gentile cities of Tyre and Sidon, where he meets a Canaanite woman. The Canaanites were the enemies of the Jews from the beginning. We remember when they first came into the land. Who did they fight? The Canaanites. Enemies of God. People that weren't close to God. Here he meets a Canaanite. He leaves the Pharisees, the Jews, the rulers of the Jewish nation, whom he was sent to and whom he came out of. He's the son of David. He leaves them and he goes consciously to this place of the Gentiles. Through this woman, and through our epistle today, we learn the greatness of God's love and how humility and faith can open up for us his mercy, his salvation. Both these readings are congruent in the sense that they help us to understand that becoming a child of God is not by our outward circumstances. The Jews thought that since they were the son's lineage, the seed of Abraham, they'd be saved. Regardless of their heart's condition, it was all outward, it was genealogy. But Jesus wants to teach us, and he did teach the Jews, remember? He said, out of these very stones I can raise sons of Abraham. What I'm looking for is the heart. And so God's concerned with that understanding. The Apostle Paul teaches the same thing today. It's faith, and it's humility. Before he who is the great God, as Paul says at the end of this little reading today, this great God is worthy of all honor, praise, blessing, thanksgiving, everything out of the heart. For lips that speak just out of the mind, that aren't connected to the real heart feeling of our life, our being, our soul, are meaningless before God. So it was that Jesus went thence that day, it says in our reading, in our gospel. And he departed, leaving purposefully the Jewish leaders behind him. Purposefully going to a place, Tyre and Sidon, which were cities of the Gentiles and the Canaanites. And there he meets a woman. She's expressly defined as a Canaanite woman. That we might know she's of the Gentiles, she's not a Jew. God's purposely going here. And there this woman meets him. It says she came out of the same coasts. Again, identifying her with the Gentiles. And she cried unto him, saying, crying loudly, have mercy on me, O Lord. You know, if you're in an Orthodox church very long, you're going to hear a lot of Lord have mercy. We say it sometimes 40 times. When I first came to the church, I couldn't figure out the 40. What's the 40 about? Why do we have 40 times to say Lord have mercy? In the hours, for example, there's time to do that. It's a commemoration of the length of life, 40, the days Jesus fasted, that Moses was on the mountain. There's something about 40 that's important. So we say 40 times sometimes, Lord have mercy. But Lord have mercy is important. This is what she wants. She wants God's mercy. Mercy is God withholding what we deserve. Not giving us what we deserve, but rather something great and good. It's implying very clearly that we don't deserve much. And so we need mercy. And God's calling on those who want to have his mercy. And he's looking for them, as he did this day with this Canaanite woman. And there she is, saying these great words, have mercy on me, O Lord. This is what she wants. And she sees him as Lord. More than just a man. More than just a faith healer. More than just someone who might be able to do something good, but somebody who she has absolute confidence in. It's Lord that can have mercy on her. And specifically, she wants mercy for a reason. Her daughter is grievously vexed, it says, with a devil. God's clearly showing us here that when he goes to the Gentiles, he's not going to a place that maybe needed some minor adjustments. They didn't just need to be tweaked to come into line with righteousness and with holiness and with God's will. And with salvation. They were grievously vexed by devils. They were set upon by evil. They were full of evil. Their whole orientation was evil. Everything in their world was upside down. Kind of like we're going right now. Everything's kind of turned upside down. It's right, it's wrong, and wrong, and right. Everything's perverted, everything's crazy. That's the way it was. When the Lord came to the Gentiles, it was a dark place. It wasn't just something that needed a minor adjustment. There was deep demonic oppression in their world. It was a serious need this woman had. She needed to have something great done. And so she came and cried to the Lord. And it says that the Lord answered not a word. Just silence. The cry comes out. And there's just silence. Sometimes we're like that, aren't we? We're crying to God from our hearts in deep pain, and there's just silence. God wasn't silent because he didn't care. We see that in what transpires afterwards. But he was testing her. This is the first test in the Lord's passage today. The test of her faith. Will she persist or will she quit? What's the measure of the faith? Is the faith tiny? Does it exist at all? Is it hearsay? Is it somebody else's thought that maybe he's great? But do we really think that Jesus is Lord and he's able to have mercy on us? It's a test. He just silence. Sometimes it's like that when we come to God. But here he opens the door, the opportunity for her to prove her faith, not just to herself, although sometimes we need to prove it to ourselves, and certainly not to him. But to his disciples, the ones that wanted to silence her. He gave her that chance. And it's interesting what happens next. She didn't go away. She didn't hang her head and say, God doesn't care about me. It says, she came. and she worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." What a beautiful picture of faith that persists, that doesn't quit, that believes truly that God is there, that God is able to help, that he hears us, that he wants to help us. She came, it says, and she worshiped him. Note that word. Do we come worshiping him? Or do we come kind of like, he owes us something? Like, we deserve something. The context, remember, is asking for mercy. We don't deserve it. God should be done with us. But God's not done with us. And so she comes, and she worships him, giving him honor, giving him his due. To worship is. Giving him what he is worth. His worship, if you will. Giving him worship. And she says, "Lord, help me." But again, he gives another statement that kind of makes us wonder about God sometimes. It's okay to wonder about God. Talk about a man. She says, in response to him, "Lord, help me." And he goes and says, he says, "It's not me. It is not me to take the children's bread, the children of Israel's bread, the word of God, the things that were designed for the Jews first, and then of course for the Gentiles." He says, "It's not me to take it and give it to the dogs." The meaning behind this is that the things of God shouldn't be cast before swine. Right? And so the Lord is again now testing her. But this time he's not testing her faith. He's going into one of the components, the great component of faith, I think, perhaps. He's testing her humility. Does she really think that she needs mercy? How is she coming? Or is she coming like the Pharisee that beat on his chest? But didn't he beat on his chest? The other guy beat on his chest, right? The Pharisee said, "Thank you, I'm not like other men, sinners." Well, she's like the one who's beating on his chest. And she says, great test of her humility. She said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Guess she passes the test. What a great answer. Passes the test. She sees herself as a dog under the master's table, able to find great blessing in just a tiny crumb of God's grace, power, his mercy. What humility. Are dogs humble? Are dogs humble? I don't know. I've got a dog. I remember one time I had a friend of mine that said dogs shouldn't be in the house. Never in the house. I just quoted this verse. The dogs gather the crumbs under the table for the master. That was the end of that argument. Because the table's usually in the house, right? Yes, dogs can be humble before their master. Ours gets down on the ground and looks up like in fear. Not really, but she knows we're not going to do anything to her. But dogs can be humble. They can be great examples of humble. And in the old days, people weren't treating them as pets. They used to beat them if they didn't do right. Well, if we've been beat down by the world, by the devil, we're grievously vexed by him, we can understand what it would be like to fall before God and beg him for mercy. And then ask if we're a dog. She immediately could see herself, yes, I'm a dog, but I'm going to gather the crumbs and fall from the master's table. I'm not worthy to sit at the table. The prodigal son said the same thing, correct? I'm not worthy. Yet, I can gather the crumbs at the table. I can be just as a master's hired servant. Whatever it takes, I want to be under his care and his protection and his provision. And his forgiveness, and most of all, his mercy. That's where I want to be. That's what she said. You know, we've seen like two little tests that the master gave to her. Sometimes I think we get this opinion that God doesn't want to engage in a dialogue with our souls. That's a wrong opinion. Now, we can argue with God in a bad way. But you can argue with God, if you want to call it that. I'd say dialogue is a better word. We can dialogue with God. Isn't that what Job did for 40 chapters before God shut him up? For 40 chapters, he went back and forth with his friends, basically looking at God and saying, why me? basically, some of them. But in there, he has to be killed, he has to be put down, he has to be forgotten, never have been born, all these things. Arguing, if you will, dialoguing, maybe not even, with God. God expects you in your weakness. And I think he even desires that you talk to him. In your wonder, in your perplexity, in your pain, God expects you to reach out, not just sit there like he doesn't exist, because he does. We dialogue with him. If there was nobody there, I could understand it. But there is somebody there. Jesus was there that day. Jesus is here today. Jesus is listening to us. And he's expecting something back. She gave him worship. She came to him. She talked to him. She walked with him. And she got what she desired. This is a picture of an encounter of a soul with God. You know, we don't know everything about God. And it's okay to sometimes ask him, what's going on, God? To everything, there's a season. A time to speak, a time to keep silence. Sometimes we need to speak. Sometimes it's okay to speak. Sometimes we do need to be silent. But God expects a dialogue. When God comes and meets you, in your meeting, sometimes we talked about meeting the Lord last week, remember? All the ways we can meet the Lord. Sometimes when we meet the Lord, it doesn't go exactly like we expected. We have to wait. There's silence. Or he says something to us that doesn't sit right. It seems like to be off track, taking us away from our desired object. It's okay to ask God, God, why are you silent? God, why did you say that? Why are things going the way they're going? We can dialogue with God. It's okay. That's what this woman did. And she proved in her dialogue her faith. It was a positive thing for her to express herself the way she did. The Lord was well pleased. The disciples were shocked. They had a little bit of Pharisee syndrome, I think. They wondered how this canine dog could get mercy from God. You know, the Apostle Paul had the same kind of opinion of himself, I guess we could say. In our little reading today, he said, it's a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Not somebody else, but me. He said, I'm chief. I'm chief among sinners. I'm a dog. I'm worse than a dog. I was supporting killing Christians. I was a teacher of error. I taught schism. I taught heresy. I taught against God. But I was a chief of sinners. Once Jesus showed me who I really was and opened my eyes that day on the Damascus Road. And he said, no. The funny fact is, and I'm a sinner, he said, and I'm the chief of sinners, he said, but he said, I obtained mercy. He got mercy. Just like the king. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. When we're all chief, we see ourselves properly. We see ourselves as the one that gathers the crumbs under the table, not the one that's deserving the seat at the high place of the table. We don't even deserve the low place of the table. That's how salvation comes. That's how the door is opened. That's the foundation, I think, of really great faith. You know, it says that after she spoke that the crumbs on the table will take, the Lord said, he said, oh woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. You've got great faith. Be it unto you as you will. And it says the daughter was healed from that very same hour, that very same second, very same. Jesus gives to us good things. And we're sinners if we ask. And he says she has great faith, I believe, because her faith was great in humility. You can have faith and you can mix it with a lot of pride and you don't come up with something that's God-pleasing. But the faith of this woman and the faith of the Apostle Paul was such that in their faith, kind of intrinsic in their faith, woven into their faith, grounding even underneath the faith was a sense of self, which was in proper perspective before Almighty God. I am like a dog. I'm not worthy of it, and yet he can elevate me. He brings me not in just to eat the crumbs, yes he does. And the crumbs are great. But his desire really is to save us and bring us to the table as sons and daughters in the kingdom. What a great, great thing. You know, Paul said, I obtained mercy that Christ might show forth all long suffering, he says, for a pattern to them which would hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. What's that pattern? Paul saw himself after meeting God in this humility, this great faith founded in humility. And the pattern is this, that great sinners, grievously vexed by demons, deluded, lost, far from God, can be granted mercy from Almighty God. That's the pattern. Paul, you, me, millions of people throughout this world, of all races, creeds, that came from all places. They came from Judaism, they came from Hinduism, they came from Buddhism, they came from nothing. They came from the devil. And God is gathering them all into one holy, great church for that great supper. When that last day comes and we're gathered to the great supper, let's be like Paul. Let's be like the Canaanite woman. Let's see ourselves the way we really are before God, in great need of his mercy, and in humility, asking for it and receiving it. May God bless us, and unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the honor and glory, forever. Amen.
You can listen to more sermons and learn more about us by visiting our website at orthodoxmaine.org. Thank you for listening, and until next time, God be with you.